welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Missouri Tigers. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Kyle McAravey, and I got a feeling this one's going to have a much different energy to it than the past couple podcasts have, because we've got a signature win, Kyle.
Yeah, and you talk about different energy. The pod will have a different energy just like the offense did. I mean, that was wildly, wildly different than what we saw in the first two games.
So I guess the question is, and we kind of maybe talked about this last week, was this just a case of them playing possum for the first couple weeks and just going, you know what, we'll let the cat out of the bag in week three?
Yeah, you know, the quote after the game when Coach Shrinkwitz was asked about it was, guys, it's chess, not checkers, with a little smile. So, yeah, they knew they could get those first two wins without showing anything about
right.
the offense.
Right.
And they were,
and they didn't.
And yeah, they really didn't. And, you know, they were confident in themselves to do it. The Middle Tennessee game was closer than it probably should have been
right.
because they wanted to go that way. But, hey, I guess it worked, and they got to break out a whole lot of new stuff.
Yeah. So it's always tough to ask, you know, guys, especially at the major, major college level, because it's harder to get a feeling sometimes. But because you're in a big press box and you're sometimes removed away from everybody. But what was the mood like in the stadium from the standpoint of just as you saw more and more kind of a wide open playbook? I got to imagine that the crowd was probably just energized just by the fact that it was something different. And it looked like it was something where you could go, oh, I could get excited about watching this team play offense as opposed to the first couple weeks.
Yeah, I think that was absolutely the case. You could kind of feel the energy going around. It was also a sold out game.
Sure.
The first time, I think, in like 4 years.
Yeah, right.
For sellout since like 2019. So, I mean, there was already energy in the building having Kansas State come back, a former conference
sure.
rival and all of that. There were a lot of Kansas State fans.
Yeah.
But, you know, you could feel that people were getting pretty excited, especially, I mean, even just from the first drive, you know, first play of the game for Missouri, you have a fake motion jet sweep with Luther, and then Brady keeps it and runs. He, you know, runs again and then just starts hitting guys passing down the field in a way that we haven't seen at all this year.
Right.
And, you know, you get the first touchdown to Luther just behind Kansas State's defense. And yeah, the place was ready to go. And,
exactly.
And with it from the get-go.
Yeah. It is one of those games, too, where it just feels like there's so much to talk about it that, you know, we joked about it last week. We probably just need to start recording the podcast, or at least the first part of the podcast, immediately after the game gets over, because there's going to be a lot to forget. But I do think that, yes, I think that was one of those games where, you know, sometimes you'll switch on a game, like if you're me watching at home, you'll switch on a game, and if the first series or two is blah, you're kind of like, let's check out maybe what's happening in some other games, and then you never migrate back over to it. That first play to Luther, or that first score to Luther, I feel like was one of those where you go like, okay, now I feel like I'm a little more invested in this game than I was just maybe 2 or 3 minutes ago. So I think that's got to be one of those things where you go, okay, it was a much more fun watch for those casual fans, and then for the really invested fans, it had to be a lot more fun to watch.
It was a lot more fun to watch from the press box.
Right, right. I mean,
we were having a good time chatting up in the press box, just, you know, kind of repeatedly asking, like, have you seen them do anything like this?
Right.
This looks totally different to you too, right?
Right,
like,
right.
This is, you know, we haven't seen them do that before. We haven't seen them do that before. It's like, yeah, it was fun. It was a good time. I think the energy was up, and they, you know, the team gave the fans a good reason to get energized.
And then as soon as you started to feel like really good about this team, it was almost like, oh no, we're snake bit, because it was kind of things were going well, and then Brady Cook gets hurt, and you're like, oh, come on, man. They finally just got it going with Brady. Things are looking good. Things are looking like he's getting it, they're getting it, everybody's getting involved. This is going great. Now, to his credit, came back and played, you know, when it looked like
two snaps later.
Yeah, you're like, okay, this could be end of we might not see him till the end of the half. We might not see him the rest of the game. Came back, you know, and really only missed two snaps. But even then you felt like, oh man, he still looks like he's a little hampered. He's a little ginger. That just stinks. We finally got it going, and now we've got to take a step back. To his credit, he played great the rest of the game, and really kind of
his career.
Yeah, and as it wore on, got better, I think, and got, you know, maybe that's adrenaline, maybe that's the crowd, maybe that's the moment, who knows, but it did seem like it didn't hamper him as the game wore on.
So I will say the running game for the first half was very much based on Brady designed runs,
sure.
Right? You know, this was not a Cody Schrader or an AP game.
Right.
And especially, you know, before that knee hyperextension, that's most of what the run game was. So in the second half, you really had to go away from that and more into kind of a pocket passer game, which is not what we've seen Brady do before.
Right,
like
right.
Even last year, you know, a big part of his game was kind of getting out and moving, which, yeah, you could tell he wasn't, you know, able to do that quite as much, but he did great as a pocket passer. I mean, he was
sure
firing, and that was his first game over 300 yards. I mean, he played fantastic.
Right.
And to say, like, yeah, his knee was bugging him the whole second half, and he still came out and played an incredible half and led multiple comeback attempts, you know, out of multiple deficits. He played great, and he's listed as questionable going into this week. I fully expect him to play. I mean, he missed practice on Tuesday. There was, I guess, a little bit of extra swelling left over that needed to be taken care of. But, you know, he's been around for 3 years in the system now. I think he can miss a Tuesday and be fine.
Right. We could probably keep talking about the offense because we finally saw some things that we could talk about
yeah,
that
yeah.
kind of got us excited about it. But we should probably talk about all three facets, and I think we'll probably get to the most important game-winning facet of the special teams in a moment. But what did you think of the defense? I mean, for as someone who watched all the snaps in person, is 27 a good result against this K-State team? Was it maybe a little few too many, or is that, you know, what that you did what you needed to do to get a victory in that particular game?
I think they did what they needed to do.
Okay.
I mean, it, you know, 27's not the best they could have done.
Sure.
Right? But forced their first turnover of the year. They were definitely trying to send a ton of pressure on third downs.
Okay.
Trying to, you know, we had talked about how much of a problem third downs had been, especially against Middle Tennessee.
Right.
I guess the way to remedy that early on was bring the house.
Right.
Which sometimes worked, sometimes didn't. There was still a little bit of that that edge contain issue that we talked about, especially on quarterback runs. So that led to some third down conversions and some bigger plays for Kansas State.
Sure.
And ended up, you know, leading to issues scoring wise. But yeah, they did what they needed to do to win.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's all you need to do, really.
And the reason they get that 30-27 win is you get the last 3 points of the game. You get them on a 61-yard field goal from Harrison Meavis. So we'll talk about that particular kick in a moment here, but I gotta
should we talk about the lead up to it.
Well, we can talk about the lead up to it, but I want to get to this point because I got more than a few texts from friends out of state who are not Missouri fans, most of them from Iowa, and they're like, "What a kick from that guy. That was amazing." And I'm like, "Yes, but this guy is one of the more vexing kickers I've ever seen from the standpoint of you go, he's more likely to make a 61-yarder than he is a 22-yarder." So at a certain point you just go, this is just what this guy is. And when you get a high like the high we got from the 61-yard field goal to set the SEC record, I guess you'll take the other stuff that comes with it.
Yeah, I mean, that's what he's good at,
right?
He's got maybe an all-time leg.
Yeah.
I mean, to be able to hit a 61 in college, you're pushing the limits.
Right.
And like you said, it's an SEC record. Shockingly, not a Mizzou record. Mizzou's record is 62.
Right.
Except when they were in the Big 12.
Yeah. So a long time ago.
Yeah. But, you know, that's when you've got a leg like that, yeah, you're going to use it. And, you know, I think some of the early season kicking issues that we've seen so far maybe aren't necessarily on him.
Okay.
The way it's been talked about are kind of like maybe a long snapper issue or a holder issue. Maybe the ball isn't ending up quite the direction it needs to be.
Okay.
Setting up the kick.
Okay.
But, you know, Meavis hit a couple on Saturday before that, too. And, you know, I mean, we all just kind of sat there up in the press box. Like, there's no way, right? This can't possibly be how this game ends. They're just doing this just to throw out the attempt.
And, right.
You know, I guess it's more likely than heaving up a Hail Mary. But we're just going to overtime now.
Yeah.
And we're getting ready for it.
And we thought it was going to be maybe a 56-yarder to win it. Because I got to ask you, when's the last time you saw a delay of game where literally nobody from the offense was on the field pretty much?
Yeah, so the setup being Missouri got to what would have been a 56 on the 40, whatever, wherever it was, 41-ish, and spiked it, right? And you think, okay, they spiked, stopped the clock, you got 6 seconds left, and I think the plan was still to try to throw an out and get a little bit farther.
Right.
Like one more play, see if we can get a little bit extra. And they go over to the sideline and huddle as if they had called a timeout instead of spiking it.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, just nobody seemed to notice that the play
clock was running.
Was running.
And running. And running.
So you end up getting the delay of game. Drinkwitz said after the game that it's fully on him. That was just, you know, a brain fart moment for everybody, really, where it's just like, oh yeah, no, we don't have that extra time because we didn't call timeout.
Yeah.
So it pushes you back to a 61. They run the quick out anyways, and it's batted down, I think.
Yeah.
Or, you know, an incomplete pass. And you set up the 61. And,
yep.
You know?
Got them right where you want them.
Yes, I guess that's exactly where they needed to be.
So, again, it's going to be one of those games that I think people talk about for a long time, just from the standpoint of it's not just going to be, oh, we've kind of moved on from this one, or we won't be talking about it. There was enough that happened where this could be one of those watershed moments. So here's the thing. You want to make sure you follow up one of those games where you're like, okay, we got a big win. We got maybe, who knows if it becomes a signature win of the season, but if it's going to, you kind of got to follow it up.
Yeah.
This is the week then that you got to follow it up. So tonight, 6:30 game, it's quote-unquote a home game. It's not really a home game because you're playing at the Dome at America Center in St. Louis.
I think it's technically supposed to be a neutral site game.
Yeah.
But the Dome is set up with two Mizzou end zones.
Okay. So again, you know, maybe nobody knows what site game it is.
Yeah, I'm really not sure. Drinkwitz has also talked about it as having taken a home game away from Columbia.
Right.
So, you know, I'm not sure if technically it's supposed to be a home game or a neutral site. Either way, it's a home game.
Right.
It's just in St. Louis.
Yeah. So the opponent is Memphis. It's one of those things where you look at it and go, okay, both teams are coming in 3-0, and I think both teams, you know, if you just look at the schedule and maybe kind of the way it's gone, you know, maybe coming both of them coming off their best win of the season from the standpoint of, you know, Memphis starts out with a 56-14 win against Bethune-Cookman, then beats Arkansas State 37-3, and then last week they win 28-24 against Navy, where you go, okay, I don't know what Navy is. Some years Navy is tough, some years Navy's not.
But that's at least a legitimate.
But that is a legitimate win. So you go, okay, well, they've got my attention now, because guess what? They've not only run the table and done what they're supposed to have done, they've won all three games. They also have that win against Navy. They've coming in streaking. So I guess the biggest thing for my question for you then is, how dangerous is today's opponent, and how likely is it that maybe Missouri stumbles in a game where we keep saying, we need to build off of last week?
I mean, I think Memphis is a good team. It's this early in the season, it's hard to tell for anybody, because like you said, you know, those first two games are nothing opponents, just like Missouri's first two games should have been nothing opponents.
Right.
But Navy's a legitimate win.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think Memphis is a good team. The offense works pretty well, pretty efficiently. They're averaging 40 points a game, but, you know, it's still hard to tell if that's real or not at this point.
Right.
Their quarterback, Seth Hennigan, is probably about to pass 1,000 yards unless Mizzou can hold him under 200. So, you know, getting to 1,000 through four games as your quarterback for Memphis is pretty good.
Right.
They've got a legitimate running back. He's an Old Dominion transfer named Blake Watson. He's averaging about 7 yards per carry. You know, and then you got returning Mizzou receiver, former Mizzou receiver, Toski Dove, who's like their fourth leading receiver or something. You know, I think the offense is legit. The defense right now is top 10 in a bunch of categories.
Okay.
That's another situation where, like, yeah, you played Bethune-Cookman.
Right.
Like, you're not going to give up a lot to, to them.
Yeah.
Or Arkansas State. You know, so we'll see. I think they're a legitimate team, and, you know, if Missouri is still kind of riding the high of beating Kansas State, they could be in trouble. It doesn't seem like that's the situation from Tuesday's press conferences.
So I think, again, you mentioned it before, how important maybe is it for us to see Brady cook again this week, from the standpoint of, you know, he's now kind of proven that, you know, that was kind of a signature defining, you know, career defining moment for him. Obviously he, I'm sure, wants to build off it. I'm sure they're doing everything they can to get him ready. But again, while he was out last week, we only got to see Sam Horn again for two more plays. So, and it wasn't like, yeah, and we handed the ball off twice. So it's not like, you know, if he can't go, that then all of a sudden becomes even bigger, you know? So I guess it's, you know, how big is this week in terms of the Mizzou athletic training staff being an integral part of this game?
I mean, it's important when you have a game like that to follow it up, right? That can't be a one-time thing for Brady. I think, you know, that's definitely cemented him as the guy.
Right.
And as the guy,
yeah,
you have to go show that you can do it again. I wouldn't expect, like, an identical performance, even if he was healthy. The way Drinkwitz was talking about it, this game plan might look kind of different from last week. So, you know, the question was kind of rattling around, like, is what we saw against Kansas State going to be what to expect from the offense moving forward?
Yeah.
And it sounds like, you know, that was a pretty specific pass-heavy game plan. And then even, especially in the second half, adjusting once Brady wasn't able to do those QB design runs anymore, that it got much, much pass-heavier in a way that we might not see against Memphis. Their secondary has been pretty good at creating takeaways, so this might be a little bit more run-focused to begin with as a game plan. But, you know, judging off how different the passing game looked last week, I think we can probably expect the running game to look a little different than it did in the first two games.
Right.
So, you know, even that could bring some different levels of excitement with it.
Yeah. I think it probably bears some mention to talk about just the side of the game from the standpoint of, I think, you know, with those neutral site games or places that both teams are going to be unfamiliar with playing in, it's going to be just kind of, you know, who can kind of maybe acclimate themselves quicker and kind of get used to whatever it is, whether it be different sight lines for receiving kicks, punts, you know, where the ball is coming out of the lights on throws, that sort of stuff will be different.
Playing inside will be different.
That was my next question, was playing inside is going to be probably a little bit different. And also, I think, you know, it's worth noting that, yes, that was the home side of the St. Louis Rams, so it's a big building. You're going to have a lot of people in there to fill it up. So it's going to have just probably a weird feel, unless for some reason they sell this thing out and a lot of people, sell a lot of, you know, day of walk-ups. And, you know, it's going to be just a whole different kind of atmosphere than maybe what Thoreau was last weekend.
I'll say the ticket sales went up a lot Saturday night.
Sure. That probably helped.
I'm not sure, you know, quite how they were looking Saturday morning.
Right.
You know, it was a pretty quick turnaround where, like, a lot of people bought tickets at the Dome Saturday night. You know, it would be hard to fill the Dome
right.
in an NFL stadium like that. But, you know, Faroe's, a little bit over 60,000?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, and they sold it out. So,
yeah.
If you bring, you know, a good portion of your fan base, if you can put 45 or 50,000 in there, that's still going to look pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, it'll take a little bit of adjustment just being in a different environment, playing inside versus playing outside for the first time and however long it's been for everybody, maybe the first time for a lot of these guys. But I think the biggest thing is going to be, I think there's like 18 kids on the Missouri roster who are from St. Louis.
Yeah.
So getting to play at home,
right.
You know, getting to, Coach Drinkwitz mentioned a lot of them are asking for all of their teammates' tickets, ticket allotments and stuff,
right.
So their extra friends and family can show up. Like, that's going to be a really cool experience for those kids,
sure,
who haven't got to do that before, playing in a stadium that maybe they went to growing up. The Rams moving's getting a little bit farther away now, so,
right.
You know, these kids might have been a little younger, but, you know, they've envisioned being able to play in St. Louis in front of their home crowd for a long time, and I think that'll be pretty important for them.
So I guess I'll just ask you, are the Tigers able to build on last week's victory with another victory? And if so, what's the score of this one?
I'll say yes. I think Missouri will end up winning, let's say, 31-21.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Kyle McAravey, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening. We'll be right back.
For more information about this week's game, visit newstribune.com and get game updates and more college sports content all week by following Kyle McArabee on Twitter at Kyle_McArabee. That's McArevy. Thanks for listening.